Loving brothers and sisters, members of branch churches and local sanctuaries, all believers in the world who are attending this service through internet and GCN viewers. Beginning today, I'm going to deliver the message on heaven. I hope you understand, even if I express things somewhat strongly, it's the impression of my sadness and regretfulness. I hope you members will gain more faith, hope, and love as you listen to each of the messages. Today's passage from 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." All the things that we see here, the nature, the sun and moon, and everything of this physical world lasts only for a moment. If you think of the eternity, throughout the eternity, they last only for a moment. We live only for a moment, but the life to come, which is invisible, is eternal. Therefore, we should not put our heart into the worldly things that last for only a moment in the time compared to eternity. Even though they are not seen, I hope you will believe there are things that are eternal. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will become wise believers who always seek the eternal things above with heavenly hope. Brothers and sisters in Christ, one person has traveled to a foreign country and tells you something like the following. While I was in that country, I felt like I was in a fairy tale. The place I stayed was a house built so beautifully. It was like a nest in the mountains, and there were so many peculiar animals and plants that I had never seen before. Especially, there were many monkeys with cute faces. They didn't even fear me. They rather enjoyed playing with me and came up to sit on my shoulder. Also, it was so fantastic when I saw some trees that had their branches facing heavenward at dusk. The people there all appeared to be good, nice, simple, and honest. When you hear this kind of story, you may think, that place is paradise on earth. Is there really a place like that on this earth? I'd like to go there too. This story is extracted from a travel article by somebody who has been to Madagascar, which is an island located in eastern Africa. Madagascar is the fourth largest island country in the world, and its size is 6 times larger than that of South Korea. When you hear people tell you about a place where you have not visited, you get new information about a new place in the world, and you generally believe what they say. But when you go to another country and see something for just a short period of time, it is only a very small part about the country you know about it. It is factual, but it is not everything. Therefore, if you want to get detailed and specific information about a country, what just one person who has only been to the place briefly is able to tell you is not enough. You can get more reliable information when you hear from somebody who has lived in that country for a long time and is one of the leaders with understanding about the full functioning of the country. It is the same when we would like to know about the kingdom of heaven. Around the world, there are quite a few people who claim that they have been to or have seen the kingdom of heaven by the special grace of God. There are also some of them who diligently visit many places to testify about their experiences, and there are also others who have written books. Because God wants the secret of heavenly kingdom to be known, He has showed the kingdom of heaven to those who can testify about the kingdom of heaven with genuine hearts, and He has let them preach about it. God wants as many people as possible to believe in the existence of God and come into the kingdom of heaven. When many people experience the kingdom of heaven, there are some different kinds of experiences. The first is when they die and they come back to life. I will give you specific examples of this case in later parts of the sermon series. And these are the really special cases. There are undoubtedly some of you who have heard about somebody who has died but came to life again. Likewise, when the life of the body ends, the spirit goes out of the body, and the time they experience the life that is to come. The second case is when they see a vision. With the gift given by God or by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, their spiritual eyes open and they see the kingdom of heaven in a vision. The third kind is when their spirit visits the heavenly kingdom. I'll just briefly mention it this time. In this case, where their spirit visits the kingdom of heaven, according to whether the person is the man of spirit or not, there is difference again. A man of spirit can visit the heavenly kingdom through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, the apostles Paul and John had been to heavenly kingdom this way in spirit. But for a man who is still in flesh to separate his spirit, there must be God's special protection. Most cases of visiting the heavenly kingdom belonged in this classification. In such a case, the body that is left on this earth still has life, but they do not have any consciousness. They still have the breath, but they do not have consciousness. When they visit the heavenly kingdom in this way, they see and hear many things in the heavenly kingdom, but when they express what they saw and heard, much of it is affected by the operation of their soul. Also, only a few of these people have been to visit the whole kingdom of heaven. Therefore, it is not very appropriate to say they know well about heavenly kingdom based on only what they have seen. After you get to heavenly kingdom, you cannot see the whole heavenly kingdom, even for billions of years. It's endless. So if you just visited it for a while, what can you know? We have to learn so many things about it, and how much can we understand? For example, many people visit New York in the United States and just to see the Empire State Building. In this case, some of them would only be able to explain, there is a very high building in New York. It has 102 stories. If you would like to find out who designed it, why they built such a high building, when they built it, and how long it took, what kind of companies are in the building, and about the things that are going on in that building, you would have to get some materials from the general manager of the building. In the same way, who is the one who has the most extensive knowledge about the kingdom of heaven? It is our Father God. Therefore, if you would like to know about the heavenly kingdom most properly, you have to listen to the explanations of God. Even before I opened this church, I only concentrated on the Word of God and prayer for understanding. And even after the opening in 1982, I left home after Sunday services to pray and came back only on Friday. After the Sunday evening service, I sometimes took a minibus or a train. Then I would keep on praying for the whole day and receive revelation. And on Friday, I would come back for the Friday night service. It was especially so in order to receive the explanations of the passages that were most difficult to understand in the Bible, and to receive power as a pastor that I accumulated countless prayers and fasting. For the first 2 years after the opening of the church, God moved my heart to offer up fast on my birthdays. In 1984, my birthday was the Sunday. And from a couple of days prior to my birthday, God moved my heart to stay at the prayer place and keep on fasting and praying. That is, I had to come back on Friday, but God commanded me to fast for 3 days from Friday. So I fasted on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on the mountain. God told me it was time to explain to me about kingdom of heaven. But because this mountain the amount of my prayer was not filled up, I had to do the 3-day fasting. And because that day was my birthday, God would receive it more greatly. That way, God let me fill up the amount of prayer needed, and He began to explain about the heavenly kingdom from this Sunday. When I obeyed the urging persuasion of God, He began to explain about the kingdom of heaven from that birthday of mine. God explained that the heavenly kingdom is not just one space, and also about how we will live there one by one in detail. These messages about the kingdom of heaven are the true words of God and are the truth. Also, it is the hope itself and is expression of the great love that our Father God, the owner of the heavenly kingdom, is giving to us who are living in this world that is full of sins at this end of time. Therefore, I hope all of you will receive this word with more joy and thanks. And I also hope you will completely put your heart not in this momentary world, but in the eternal kingdom of heaven. If you move your house, you change your address too. Likewise, I hope you will move the address of your heart to the heavenly kingdom. And I pray in the name of the Lord that your address will be moved to a better heavenly dwelling place as you keep on listening to these messages. Do we move our address even in the same kingdom of heaven itself? Yes, we do. The Bible certainly says that those who take hold of the heavenly kingdom by force will get it. To the extent that you diligently cast off flesh and become sanctified, you will take hold of the first kingdom of heaven and then advance into the second heavenly kingdom, and then to the third kingdom, and finally into the city of New Jerusalem. Every time your address changes from paradise to the first kingdom, and then to the second kingdom of heaven, and then where will you go finally? You should change your address to New Jerusalem, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ, now before I get into the explanations on the kingdom of heaven, I will introduce some of the testimonies of those who have experienced the spiritual realm. The first thing I'm going to introduce is a survey result of a heart surgeon specialist in the United States. This surgeon never used to believe in the world after this life, but as he was interviewing those who have been momentarily dead but were revived by CPR or cardiopulmonary resuscitation, he changed his thoughts. He interviewed more than 200 patients that had experienced this. The stories of these patients have slight differences from person to person, but there was a common thing as a whole, and they all testified to the two extremes. First, the common thing was that all of those patients, right after their death, went through a narrow and long passageway as if they were sucked in by something. Next, there were two different groups of people in two extremes. One group arrived at a place like a grass-covered plain, which was endless and filled with the mild and beautiful aroma of flowers. And they heard, "Your time has not come yet, so go back." And then soon they returned to the consciousness and recovered their senses, and they heard, "Your time has not come yet, so go back." The other group of people went to a very dark place where it gave them a ghastly feeling. They also heard, "Your time has not come yet, so go back." But these people, as soon as they regained the consciousness and came back to their senses, asked the surgeon and cried, "How can I receive salvation?" But a very special thing about them is that their memory becomes faint after one day, and after 2 days, they hardly remember anything. Some dreams you remember very clearly, but you don't remember other dreams. If it's something shocking or very good, you remember it for a long time. But for some other things, you remember it right after you wake up, but after a couple of hours, you forget about it. You may remember some dreams for a couple of days, and in case of some other dreams, you may remember them even after so many years. In the conclusion of this report on his survey, the surgeon also said, Generalizing the interviews of these patients, those who have seen the dark world were afraid, but those who have seen the bright, beautiful, and fragrant world felt relieved about their death. I do not exactly know what life after death is, but I assume that it is divided into a bright and dark world. And I suppose they are heaven and hell. I'll tell you another story about the life to come. The term hospice refers to the people or a facility for those patients with incurable diseases and for their family members to decrease their physical pain and try to give them mental comfort just before their death so that they will face death peacefully. And in a diary of a Korean nurse with a PhD who has taken care of about 600 hospice patients over a time period of 20 years, there is a very interesting thing. It is about how patients in the moment just before their death reacted after seeing one of two kinds of worlds while they are dying. Let me introduce a couple of cases here. There was a 15-year-old boy whose osteomyelitis had spread to his lungs and brain. He was diagnosed to be incurable and finally came to the hospice. This boy was having a hard time because of the pains of his disease. But beginning on one morning, he began to laugh and was amazed while looking at the sky, saying that he was able to see something. Then he asked his mother, who was providing nursing care to him, "Mom, who is that brightly shining man over there?" The mother answered, "What are you seeing? I don't see anything." This boy began to sob loudly. "Mom, no, what a pity. I'm going to heaven, but it seems you are going to hell." This mother was surprised, and although he didn't see anything, to comfort the heart of her son, she said, "Oh, Dad, now I see." Then this boy was so happy, and he really thought his mother was also seeing what he was seeing, and explained each of them, pointing at them. That evening, he held his mother's hands firmly and breathed his last after saying, "Mom, you saw that, right? I will go first, so you can come later." When this mother was caring for him, he used to shed so many tears because of the pain of her son. But at the funeral, he was rather bright and happy and saying to the guest, "My son went to heaven." There was another 46-year-old man who had lung cancer and finally came to this hospice. This patient could not sleep for 3 weeks. The reason is, every night, a man in black clothes would come out and call his name, "You, come out." And he was too afraid to sleep. So this hospice invited a pastor to visit this patient. And since then, this man in black clothes stopped appearing to this patient. Finally, this patient also reached the last moment of his life. He seemed to be looking at something, and he was gesturing that something was very shiny. So people asked him what he was seeing, and he said that there were some people in white robes there with them. When our Lord was buried, there were two angels in white. There were two young men like angels. When they asked him more detail, he said, "There was a person at the head of the bed and another person on the other side, and they were both shining and had wings on their shoulders. There were people like him who faced death with joy and in peace, seeing the light, while there were some others who were breathing their last and crying out, 'No, never.' Still others breathed their last, waving their hands in the air with the eyes wide open in fear, saying they were hearing something strange and seeing something like a ghost." After this nurse saw 600 patients, she felt it was something normal to see another world at the time of death. When you put on gloves then try to take them off, it takes some time for your hands to come out. In the same way, for the spirit and soul to come out of the body, the period of death, the process to the moment of death, lasts usually about a couple of days, but sometimes they are as short as several hours, and all those patients see the spiritual realm. She said that when she witnessed the last long breath coming out of out through the noses, that at the last moment of death process, she felt like she was observing the existence of the spirit. God breathed into in the breath of the life through the nose. So when the spirit comes out, it comes out through the nose too. Brothers and sisters, likewise, the spiritual realm surely exists. And this life is not the end. There certainly is life to come. I just gave you an example of gloves. Now, let's suppose you have been wearing a pair of gloves since your birth. Because you have been wearing those gloves for such a long time, when your hands move, you mistake it to be as if the gloves themselves moved. But when you try to take those gloves off, you realize that the gloves did not move by themselves, but it was the hands inside the gloves that really moved. It's the same with our spirit and body. If your soul prospers, namely, if you go into spirit and Holy Spirit, your spirit will control your soul and body. So you feel many things in different way. When people are healthy, they think the body they can move and the world they see is everything. But when the moment of death comes to them and their spirit and soul are about to leave their body, they realize that it was not their body that actually moved, but it was their spirit and soul that moved the body. Because I once died completely, I can feel the death more realistically. I died in front of many of our members. But when I died, I didn't go through a narrow, dark passageway. Later, I thought of why I didn't. When I was dying, I was bleeding. It wasn't actually bleeding, but it was just a pouring down of blood through my nose. If you pour out your blood just for 1 hour, will there be any blood left? It just poured down through mouth and nose. Many of our members and leaders of the church were with me. At first, they were wiping the blood with tissue papers, but it didn't work anymore. Later, they brought towels, but it didn't work either. Later, they gave me a washing basin. And I was just pouring out my blood into it. I bled at about 1 p.m. Saturday at night and next morning. And how much blood would I have had? I poured out all my blood and there was no more. So the body turned so pale and I was losing my consciousness. The pulse stopped. Then it was the death. But while I had some consciousness, I said the last will, but I don't remember. I don't remember most of the words I said, but I remember some people. Why? God showed me that they were going to hell, so I was giving advice to them. Since I gave them such advice, I should have lived their life truly for God and for other souls. So I feel very sorry when they do not live like that. Anyway, I was losing my consciousness and breathed at the last. But I came back to life not long after I breathed the last. That's why I didn't go through a narrow passageway, but I met the Lord in the air. I met Him immediately. The Lord showed me a vision. He showed me hell. Also, He showed me our church members who were separated and leaving the church and going back to the world after I died. I think a little more than a half of the members remained in the church. They were fasting and crying out in prayer, asking God to protect the church. The Lord was showing me that. So I came to my senses. I thought, oh, I should not do this. Why does the Lord show me this? I have to live and fulfill my duty for those souls. That's why when the Lord asked me, do you want to be with me or do you want to go back? I answered I would go back. Then I came back to life immediately. I thought of why the Lord did it that way for me. If the spirit leaves the body, for example, and visits heavenly kingdom for a couple of days, the body is okay. Why? The soul is still remaining in the body and the body still has the breath, though he has no consciousness. But if the spirit and soul live together, the breath stops and the body is unconscious. So medically speaking, after 4 minutes, since there is no oxygen supply to the brain cells, the cells begin to die. Then if the brain cells die once, they cannot be regenerated. There was this reason, and I wasn't really going to die and go to heavenly kingdom. So, because it was such a difficult time for me at that time, God was giving me new strength through that incident to fulfill my duty. So, God wasn't really taking me into the heavenly kingdom. That's why the Lord met me in the air and sent me back to earth, so that there would be no problem with the brain cells. Then, while all the church leaders were watching me, I came back to life. But I didn't have blood in the body. But with the power of God, I was revived, and I began to drink water. Then that water changed into blood, and my face began to turn pink. I finally gained consciousness fully and began to talk with others. You know, in movies, when the dead men come back to life, they just sit up so smoothly. I just remember that I sat up like that. I remember bit by bit. I remember that I talked with Elder Boaz Lee about the church finance. Also, I remember the scene when I was leaving for my prayer house only. I must have had a lot of conversation with others after I woke up, but I don't remember all of them. I just know because the people around me at the time told me. It is only a fact with so many church leaders, pastors, and elders in witness. Even though there was no witness, it is true, but most of our church leaders were watching it, scores of them. I died completely and then came back to life because the Lord told me to go back saying, aren't these souls pitiable? Even if He didn't tell me so when I was watching them, I couldn't bear it. They were going to hell and going back to the world. So I told Him that I would go back and fulfill my duty. Immediately, my spirit came back and I was revived. Also, just as the gloves without the hands cannot move by themselves, the body without the spirit and soul is just a corpse, and we have to have a funeral. When the soul left the body, every function stops, and we call it just a corpse. Even if it's your mother's body or your father's body, you call it just a corpse. Then where do the spirit and soul that came out of the body go? As I told you in the testimonies, they go to either world of light or world of darkness. About this, Hebrews 9:27 says, and inasmuch as it is appointed for a man to die once, and after this comes judgment. Everybody is dead in spirit after they accept the Lord. Then there will certainly be the judgment as to whether they will go to either heaven or hell. Also in John 5:29, our Jesus said, and will come forward those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Namely, as it is explained in the book of Revelation, it is the resurrection for judgment. Well, they will go to hell. But there will be the judgment about in which level of hell they will go into. The first, second, third, or the fourth level of hell. Second level is more fearful than the first, and the third more than second, and the fourth more than the third level. Those who do the evil will have the resurrection for judgment. Likewise, the life on this earth is not everything, and there is life to come, so that after life on this earth, you will certainly go to either heaven or hell. Now, what kind of qualifications do you have to go to heaven and not hell? Also, what is the place where the spirit and soul that just came out of the body goes? And after arriving there, what will happen? I will explain to you about these things in the next session. Our members, please listen carefully and keep this in mind. Pastors, too. I received a shocking report about some students keep their cell phones on during the service. They receive calls and they receive text messages and send replies during the service. They should worship in spirit and truth, but they even play games with their phones. Some students brought soda and drink it during worship services. At the moment I heard it, I was so much shocked, and I was in sorrow. I proclaimed heaven and hell that exist, and they saw God's signs, wonders, and power. So it's disgracing God. Suppose God of hosts, the Lord God of hosts, our Lord, or our Lord is proclaiming from here the word now. You should listen to the message in spirit and truth. But if you keep your phones on and receive and send text messages or receive calls or play games with it, it is completely disgracing God and our Lord. It's disregarding Him. It's too rude. You should worship in spirit and truth before God. God's word is being proclaimed through His servant, but if you do so without hearing the message, does it make sense? If you act unbecomingly, repeatedly, you're piling up sin over your sin. You're far away from salvation. You're not going to heaven, but to hell. You're building up the war of sin. They are not little ones. They are teenage students. They are middle school and high school students. Well, teachers always warn them not to do so. But will God is pleased with it? What did the sons of Eli, the priest in the Bible? They laid with the women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. To make it worse, they took the meat before it was offered to God as a sacrifice. How rude and disgracing God it is. So, God said like this. God said, He would break the strength of Eli's father's house, that there would not be an old man in his house. Then both of his sons died on the same day. And Eli's neck was broken and he died. All his house was completely cursed. So we should understand how fearful it is to stand against God. And moreover, we should be careful with fear about what we do in the sanctuary. When you see them disgracing God like that, and if you just warn them not to do so, will it be okay? Parents of those students, are you okay if your sons and daughters go to hell while you go to heaven? I am so sad. I cannot understand it. Moreover, this church is the church where things are done just as the Bible says. They are experiencing many signs, wonders, and power in the power in this church. Should they act rude like this or stand against God? The same goes for young adults. Why are you still sinning? There are people who are doing things that lead to hell, even though I taught them it is the way to hell. So I'm sad and regretful. to go to heaven together and to lead them to better heaven and New Jerusalem. I've been proclaiming over and over again. I didn't just proclaim. I've been showing signs, wonders, and power to prove that the Bible is true. But still, there are people who are not awakened but falling into the world. How sad it is. Let me conclude the message. 1 Peter 1:24-25 says, "All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls up, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. All these things are things that perish and die. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Those of us who have this word will dwell in the eternal heavenly kingdom happily forever." Once I told you that if you cannot really feel the fear of hell, and especially our students and young adults, to put your finger in boiling water, what will happen if you just put your finger in boiling water for 30 seconds? You won't be able to bear the heat. The skin will come off and it will swell and give out discharge. And that pain will last for a long time until it is healed completely. It's only about one finger. But in hell, it's not only one finger, but the whole body will be burning forever and ever in the fire of hell. This is absolute truth. Why does God have to give us the highest level of God's power? Let us preach the gospel to this gospel to the whole world. Now, even medical doctors gather to form this, and many Christian broadcasters are gathering together. God is doing these works. Why does God make these things happen? Why does God let us publish this book, Hell, and distribute it worldwide? Why are these seemingly impossible things done through this church? It's because people all over the world must know that there is heaven and hell so that those who have goodness will accept the Lord and receive salvation. How were these books, Heaven and Hell, written? Was it because I was a good writer? Did I imagine all those things? Of course not. I cannot imagine and make up all these things. Everything is written precisely according to the Bible. Whether it is hell or heaven, if you have any question while you are reading the Bible, you will find the answer when you read those books, Hell and Heaven. Will you choose a life that will bloom splendidly only for a short time and soon withers? Or will you choose a life to go to the heavenly kingdom in which you will live forever? Even now, many young adults and some of our members are acting the works of the flesh that lead to death. And they say they repent over and over again. When will you wake up? Why are you taking the flesh that has no meaning, which is rotting and of no benefit? And why do you fall in temptation so easily? In the holy temple of God, we should share the words of truth, gracious testimonies with one another. But why are you dating with your brothers and sisters in faith? Also, you betray and break up again. You lose grace, and some of you leave the church. Why should this kind of things happen in this church? In the church? What will God say about it? Will God call you my daughter, my son? If you are wise, you will obviously choose a life to go to heaven. For this, you will precisely spend every moment of the time given in this life on earth as time spent to prepare for the life in the eternal kingdom of heaven. Do you know the reason why our members thank me so much? They love me and thank me so much because they came to know about this heaven and hell, so that they go the way of heaven, not hell. And they are ordaining themselves as the Lord's brides. They want more spiritual things, and they are going into spirit. They thank me so much because I'm guiding them that way. That's why they love me so much. If they didn't come to this church, if they didn't meet me, they must have been going the way of hell by now. But because they came to this church, listened to the word of life, and are going the way of heavenly kingdom, they always thank me, and they are happy. They know the true way, and they are going that way. How is your heart? You have peace, joy, and happiness in your heart. Your things just flowing out from your heart. You have also become healthy and are receiving God's blessings. The children of these parents are also healthy. This is what this church is doing. Even if you get into a big traffic accident by your mistake, even if you have to scrap the car, you who were in the car were not injured at all by God's protection. This is what you are experiencing so many times. I hope that all who are listening to this message will make a wise choice. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that when your life on this earth ends, you will look back without remorse, and that you will be at the side of the Lord of love, being able to confess that you have done well.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers: stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear, and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.